Good morning. The message I would like to share today with you is the evolution of sin. Actually, in a way, sin has its own life. When we sin, if we do not deal with the sin quickly, it tends to have its own life and grow and pull you down. So today, I would like to help brothers and sisters understand in their spiritual walk, in our spiritual growth, we'll never have a very straight line going. Usually there will be ups and downs. God will allow Satan to test us. At the same time, God will also allow some adversity to come to our life, mainly to train us how to be close to Him and be more like Him. And inevitably, sometimes, we fall. It's more important that when you fall, you need to stand from that place and stand up again. And if you can do that, you'll grow quickly. Otherwise, it may just drag down again and again. That's part of the spiritual life, spiritual growth. So, temptation trials are commonplace in our spiritual walk. Today, I would like to share a passage with you to illustrate the so-called seven principles of sin. When you understand the nature of sin, then hopefully next time, when you are tempted, you have better understanding to resist the sin. The passage I'm going to share with you is from 2 Samuel 11, 1-13. This is a famous passage about David and Bathsheba. Can I ask brothers and sisters to read together? Let's go. In the spring, at a time when kings go off to war, let's go on. Sammy, Riot, and Joab sent him to David. Let's continue. Uriah said to David, then David said to him, so this is a famous passage I think most of you are familiar with. It's about David and Bathsheba. And out of that, I would like to explain the seven principles of sin. These are the seven principles. And the outline is already recorded in your bulletin. The first one, that is, certain lifestyles tend to increase our vulnerability to sin. Second, do not flirt with sins. Third, do not be naive. You cannot escape the consequence of sins. Fourth, deal with sins as early as possible, otherwise it will evolve and pull you down. Five, living in sins will give you some initial pressure, but soon comes the terrible suffering. Six, merciful God takes the initiative to get us out from the bondage of sins. Seventh, When we repent, our sins will be forgiven, yet we'll still live some consequences of our sin. So let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for getting us brothers and sisters to worship today. May your message touch us. Speak to us through your Holy Spirit. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. So we're going to use the inductive Bible study method. Try to analyze the five W's and ask why. From that, regain the meaning of the passage and gather these four, seven principles of sin. The first principle is that certain lifestyles increase our vulnerability to sin. The passage I'm using is the first two verses. The first two verses. May I ask the sister to read it out for us? Sisters, in the spring, this passage, these first two words, I would like to focus on two W's. When and where. Here the wheres have two locations. One is outside Jerusalem where a lot of soldiers, the Israelite armies, are still fighting the enemy. The mission of God has not achieved yet. So the Israelites are trying very hard to fight the family. Yet, there's another location. Where is it? It's within Jerusalem. Has to do with who? David. What did he do? He slept. Until when? Until when? Until the evening. In the evening, on the evening, David got out. So you can see that from here, this one first principle, while a lot of armies are fighting outside, David was resting and enjoying himself inside Jerusalem as a king. Later on, of course, David's sin. The fact of David's sin, I think, somehow relates to his lifestyle. First, he forgot his own mission. He forgot that the enemies had not been fought away yet. Yet he retired already. Let his own soldiers fight war themselves, while he himself enjoy life. Not just pure enjoy life. He slept until what? Evening. So one thing that we have to reflect upon ourselves is your lifestyle. Do you have a clear goal of life? If you do not have a clear goal of life, or that goal of life, a vision, does not go with the vision of God, you are more prone to sins. And also, what kind of lifestyle do you have? Is it very relaxed? Just having a lot of time to kill. Playing all the time. Especially nowadays, now it's summertime when we have school vacation. A lot of youngsters have a lot of free time. If you have not to have an active lifestyle, you play a lot of time, just relax, without a common goal, where you have a lot of time in your hand, you're prone to sin. So the first thing to deal with sin is that ask yourself, what kind of lifestyle do you have? Do you have a goal? Second principle. Okay, the second principle is that do not flirt with sins and feats. This is from 11:2. Can I ask the brothers to read that to our verse? Brothers. We are repeating the second verse with one W. How? What kind of actions is going on? The focus here is the word saw. Here, David, on the roof, he saw a man, woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. I would say that there's nothing wrong to see the woman bathing because it was not his intention. He was just walking on the roof and accidentally he saw somebody bathing. The first sight, that's not what's wrong with that. The big problem, the second sight. Facing the environment nowadays around us, usually there are a lot of temptations. Sometimes you cannot avoid being bombarded by all these temptations, so be very careful. When you see that, flee. Try to escape from the situation. Otherwise, you think you are strong enough to withstand that and resist the temptation, you'll always fail. Try to flee as fast as possible. Instead of fleeing, he has a double second soul. He sees it again. Then, because of this second sight, he was trapped. I have a special ministry in Hong Kong. It's called Operation Dawn, where they helped some drug addicts to rehabilitate. A lot of drug addicts came from a very innocent situation where their friend will introduce him, "Hey, life is full of experience. Let's try out just one smoke. And you can withstand that. You got to try because life is full of experience. Why don't you try? Just smoke one time." Or they say, "Marijuana is not drug. Marijuana is just something that is not drug. Just smoke one time. Just one time." And when they did that, it became a hook on their life. Don't play with fire. Whenever you face that situation, run. Don't think that you're strong enough to resist temptation. Every year, I fly to Vienna to teach. Whenever I get up from the airplane, go to the airport, I must be very careful. Because when I step out to the airport, to those the main area, right away there's a big advertising showing nightclub with a lot of girls dressed in sexy clothes. Big picture in front of you. And you came the first time, you cannot avoid it. It's just for sight. You see that. The more important is try not to see it a second time. Especially in this world. Don't play with fire. Don't think that you have the strength to withstand, to resist the temptation. Get out. That's the second principle. You look at the third principle. Okay, the third principle is that do not be naive. You cannot escape the consequences of sins. You think that, okay, I just tried one. And if I don't tell anybody, and nobody tell anybody else, it's okay. Just one time. Don't we play with fire. Anytime, once you sin, there must be consequences. Let's read 11:2-5, 3-5. Let's ask the sister to read there. Sister, please. And David. David thought that just one night, just one evening, he tasted its pleasure. And then, from then on, we forget about it. Bathsheba, forget about it. David, myself, forget about it. And then, that is gone forever. Unfortunately, your enemy is Satan. If you allow him to have a hook in your life, he'll keep coming. He'll pull you down. So although he said it'll be okay, but what happened? He slept with her and then the woman conceived. It seems there's a tale there. He initiates action, although that will be wiped away easily, but it seems that there's a tale of the story. The woman conceived. Now David was confronted with a very big decision. Either at this time he confessed, but there will be a big price as a king. because he committed adultery. There will be a big price. He may be pulled down. He may lose his throne. Or he can choose to cover up. So in front of him there's a big choice. It's like a fork of the road. One thing is that confess the sin right now and face the consequence. Or what? Cover up. And he decided to cover up. But notice here, sin has its own life. If you do not deal with it directly, it will gradually pull you down. There are consequences. Okay, the fourth principle of sin is that deal with sin as early as possible, although it's painful. Deal with it as is possible. Otherwise, it will evolve on its own life and pull you down. Let's read that. Okay, could I ask the brothers to read that? Brothers, Sammy, go on. Uriah said to David, then he said to him, stay here one more night. The focus of this principle number four is who. Who are we talking about? A new person called Uriah. So David came up with a very clever plot. Okay, if I invite Uriah to come back and relax him, let him have some wine, he relaxed, he went home and slept with his wife, and then we can say that the child belonged to Uriah. And everything will be fine. David was very clever. He came up with a plot. So Uriah came, and then he was fed with a very good meal and then wine, and asked him to go home and relax. But instead, Uriah stayed with his servants outside the palace. So when David asked him, why do you do that? Notice here, what Uriah say, in a way, I think God is using Uriah's mouth to talk to David. He said, David, the Ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my master Joab and my lord's men are camped in open fields. How could I go to my house and eat and drink and lie with my wife? It's interesting, a humble servant, through a humble servant, I think God is speaking to David. What are you doing, David? While your men are fighting their death, their lives there, you're enjoying other people's wife. What are you doing here, David? But David was so deep in sin, he could not hear. He was insensitive. So he find out that his plot did not work. What did he do? So he got the second plot. So he sent Joab. Ask the sister to read that, please. In the morning, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah in his died. His plan worked. He killed his soldier. You can see it. You can see sin seems to have its own life. Start from just a second sight. One more look. That's it. One more look. Watch the woman bathing. Then he invites the woman over and commit adultery. But sin has its own life. If you do not deal with sins, it will pull you down. Okay? Then the man and woman got pregnant. So he decided to go further. Covered it up. When the cover up doesn't work, what happened? He murdered. Sin has its own life. If you do not deal with it quickly, it will pull you down. The Watergate. Nixon actually was a very capable president. Because of his efforts, the international diplomacy has a big improvement between China and US. Because of initiative that brought China back to the international scene. David was a wonderful president in terms of international relations. Yet, when we talk about Nixon, Richard Nixon, usually people remember just one word. What is that word? Watergate. How sad. He tried his whole life to serve his country. Yet just one word. Pull him down. Forever in history. The incident comes very, very simply. Because he was such like a paranoid. He was usually scared about his enemies. He was a president already, but he was afraid about how the Democrats were going to plot against him. So what did he do? He sent some of his people to go to the Democratic. The building belonged to the Democrats, Watergate. And then what? Pretend to be plumbers. And then in the evening, go into the office and open their file cabinets and just peek. Remember, see. Peek into those files and see what's going on. He thought that would be easy. Just get some information so that I have an inside track to defeat the Democrats. Very simple thing. As a president, it seems to be a minor act. Just a minor act. Just political struggle. But sin has its own tale. What happened that night? Those people were captured, arrested. And then, initially they thought it's a simple thing. Some people just fell into the building and that got some, rough some money. But the reporter found out, it's not so simple. They were connected to some of the staff members of Nixon. But Nixon do what? Denied any connection at all. Nothing would do. I promise you, your president is not a crook. That's what he said. He denied and denied. And there's a tale. Some people disclosed that actually the White House had a tape. All the conversation taped. So the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice said, Nixon, President Nixon, you have to release the tapes. Nixon, no! This is my executive prerogative. No, I cannot release that. He even do what? When the Chief Justice ordered him to do that, he fired the Chief Justice. And then the Congress took in action. Purge the president. You know what? Even before Nixon died, he did not really confess and ask for true forgiveness. He tried to say some words, kind of the middle one. Okay this, okay that. The American people find that President Nixon did not come forth completely. So forever, there's one word for this great president. Watergate. The fifth principle of sin is living in sins will give you some pleasure. If there's no pleasure, nobody will sin. But that pleasure gain will soon outlast oppressed by what? By the suffering you suffered. For sure. Let's read Psalm 32, 3 to 4. Let's read together. When I kept silent, you know that after the soldier Uriah died, David actually was able to marry Bathsheba, opening up. Yet, within this 1 year or so, he did not really enjoy that. You can see, this is his own confession in Psalm 32. He said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away from my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy unto me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. David was trapped in sin, and he did not have the courage to face that. So he was trapped for more than 1 year. Until when? Until God showed up. The principle number 6 is that the merciful God takes the initiative always to get us out from the bondage of sins. Just like when Adam and Eve sinned against God, what did they do? They hide away. They hid themselves. And God said, where are you? He called gently, where are you? Well, David was trapped in the sin, suffering this all to himself. God took the initiative. He sent his own servant, Nathan. So let's talk about Nathan. We talk about who and how. Let's ask the sister to read that. Sister, please. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When they came to him, he said, so the focus of this sixth principle is then 2W, who and how. The who here is Prophet Nathan. He's very smart. Instead of confronting David directly, he used a psychological therapy. He tells it a story. This story talks about a rich and a poor man. The poor man has only one little lamb, while the rich man has many. But when there's a guest coming, instead of using his own sheep, he killed that poor man's little lamb, that rich man. So facing this case, as a king he would judge, facing this case, Nathan put forward this case to David. What do you think about this case? And David still has some sense of conscience. David burned with anger and fear. As surely as the door lives, the man who did it deserves to die. And Nathan said, hey King David, you are the rich man. Very smart move. Nathan how? Using a very indirect but smart move. David condemned himself. Facing this, David has no other words but, I sin against God. Seeing actually God took the initiative. So brothers and sisters, when you are in sins, when you are suffering with this terrible suffering, when you're trapped and you don't have courage to get out, remember, God around you always try to get you out. Where are you? Maybe speaking through brothers and sisters, or through circumstances, he always tries to get you out. Be sensitive. Principle number 7. When we repent, our sins will be forgiven. Yet we'll still live some consequence of our sins. Let's read together. This is what the Lord says, of your own household. You can see, say, David repents. But even when David repents, there are still consequences. Don't be naive. Sins always have consequences. Even when he repents, God will say that, you know, what you happened, other people will do the same. We live with your life now in almost broad daylight. You did it in secret, I will do this thing in broad daylight between all Israel. Indeed, what happened? His son rebelled against him later and slept with his concubines. And you ask yourself, if I confess, I still bear the consequences, why do I want to confess? Right? If I repent and I still have to bear the consequences, why do I repent? Repent, the first thing is that you cleanse your sins. Earlier, there's a graph here, but it doesn't show. First of all, the most important thing is to restore your relationship with God. Otherwise, you always get separated. That sin separates intimacy between you and God. Secondly, although there are consequences, the consequence will be reduced. At the same time, God will go through this consequence with you. That happened to David. Although there are rebellion, a lot of things people fought against him, but he was able to restrain that and carry on. So from this simple passage, we came up with seven principles. The first one is that, watch your lifestyle. Certain lifestyle increase your vulnerability to sin. Second one, don't play with fire. Third one, don't be naive. You cannot escape consequence sins. Fourth, deal with the sin as early as possible. Otherwise, it will pull you down. The fifth one, living in sins will give you pressure initially, but soon comes the terrible suffering. Your merciful God always takes the initiative to get you out, if you're willing. And then when we repent, although we have to pay consequences, but God will bear the consequences with us and give us strength. And most important of all, restore the intimacy with us. So what we gather here from this passage? How do we deal with the sins? Besides the seven principal sins, first, if you are in sins, quickly try to get out as soon as possible. No matter what you see the consequences now, take it. Second one, you can, don't flirt with sins. When you are facing a sinful situation, run. More fundamentally, reflect upon your own life. What kind of lifestyle are you leading right now? Do you have a very chief, clear goal of your life? Is your goal is consistent with the vision of God upon you? If you don't have a clear goal, then you have a lot of spare time. When you have a spare time, you just waste time, you just play games all the time, watch TV all the time, especially in summertime. And you have a lot of time to waste. And if that's the case, you even sleep very late during the day. And if you do that, if you don't have an active lifestyle, if you do not lead a holy life, you're actually doing what? You're welcoming Satan and open a big gate for him. A word of caution to my dear brothers and sisters who just got up from the school and are enjoying summer vacation. Try to lead an active life. Think about your goal in summertime. What can you achieve? Swim. Do some exercise. Maintain active. It's always to relax a little bit. Watching television, sometimes yes, but not too much. try to learn something active, positive. Learn on your own. Okay? Try to volunteer some good work. And most important of all, don't forget about doing your devotion every day. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for getting us together this morning and teach us how to avoid sinning against you. Protect us from temptation. Protect us from sin and deliver us from temptation. We thank you. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.